Aquarius, and welcome to Inner Space, your 2023 astrology reading from Planet Waves. My name's Eric Francis, here to share some thoughts and some ideas and to check in about the state of the world and where that intersects with your reality and see what we can learn. I want to mention one thing at the top, and I wish I heard this more. I don't hear it very much at all, really, but that is just some contact with the incredible stress and difficulty of being alive at this time in history and the unbelievable pressure that we are under, living with this needless uncertainty and what to me seems like a state of more or less constant abuse by those who are in authority or have claimed authority, and all the agendas that are being run as we ordinary folk just try to go about our lives and get our work done and have our relationships and pay the bills, and we are being intersected with all of this other stuff. It's almost like every person has the pressure of the United States presidency on them, because there's not one thing we can do that's not somehow ensnared in this intersection between the public and the private. It used to be that people really, their only contact with the government was voting, filing their tax return, paying parking tickets, and maybe occasionally getting pulled over for like a U-turn. And now our lives are wall-to-wall government intervention. And this is just stressful. And we are experiencing losses, and the people around us, even if you're doing pretty good, the people around you, there's going to be people around you who are struggling spiritually and psychologically and financially. So just a little shout out to that, or whisper out to that. Turns out that this year, the big astrology of the year takes place in Aquarius. There's more going on, but the center of the story is Pluto enters your sign, Saturn leaves your sign. So that's a big change. It's going to shift something on a culture-wide level, globally. I am reasonably certain that people are not aware of how sweeping and wide this is going to be. And I'm here to talk to you about how to engage this energy personally, and how to work with it and make the most of it, and a little bit about how to think of Pluto going through your sign, which it has not done since the late 18th century. It is in the era of the writing of the United States Constitution and the French Revolution that Pluto was last in Aquarius. And that means that no one's actually ever lived through it. Pluto wasn't discovered until 1930, and so the only people at the time didn't know, and then it hasn't happened since. And so all we have is essentially the historical record and the biographical record and absolutely no astrological record, except in like casting the birth charts of people born in that era. And so we are going to get to experience this, and you are going to get to experience it personally. It may be comforting to know that Pluto, through the 12th, for you, Capricorn, the house before yours, the sign before yours, the 12th place of the zodiac, whether you're Aquarius sun or rising, it's the same thing for our purposes. To have Pluto go through that region is very challenging. And I'm not really sure why that is, but it is understood and observed, and it has something to do, I think, with the very sublime nature of the 12th, and how the 12th represents this kind of place that, in a way, doesn't really exist in the material world. It's a portal into the chart. It's like a, well, from normal waking consciousness, it can function like a blind spot. In the spiritual sense, it is an opening into vast other dimensions. And what's so interesting is you have this opening into other dimensions covered by the sign Capricorn, which is so worldly. It's so structured and so engaged with the worldly historical process. It's a bit of a contradiction because the 12th includes journeys into other dimensions, dreams, what you experience on ayahuasca or hallucinogens. It can include your deepest imagination, the space of visions, and what Vedic astrologers call the pleasures of the bed. So it's the realm of not only of fantasy, but of the way in which those really deep experiences that we can have with other people and sometimes with ourselves can feel like they are otherworldly, and you might wake up the next day and question whether it even happened, because it feels like it happened in an alternate reality, and that's exactly what the 12th is. And so you have had Pluto moving through this space of the alternate reality through this extraordinarily dense energy of Capricorn, basically dismantling the structures of society that Capricorn normally holds up, but Pluto's very good at just taking apart whatever is in its path. And so something deep inside of you has been deconstructed. Sometimes it felt like demolished. Cleared in the sense of like going from the cluttered space to the open plan. The boundaries and the walls demolished, the rooms and compartments pried open, many of your secrets and family secrets having been revealed during this time. And Capricorn still functions as a source of that information, particularly given some recent additions that have come in the past few years, very slow movers, subtler than Pluto, but formidable powers in their own right. And so you are left with a cleared space of your previous expectations and a tap into a very deep realm, which is yours to work with and have access to. One thing interesting about Aquarius is that your sign and the previous sign are both Saturn ruled. No other sign has that. And so the same planet that represents your most subliminal reality also represents your most basic, grounded, ordinary level one consciousness reality. And that's an interesting kind of two-faceted thing that you have. And so it's important to remember that in a way, you walk where Saturn walks, but you also walk in two worlds at once. And we'll get to that when we come to Saturn in Pisces in the second, because it has some of that there. Pisces has that two worlds in one kind of a feeling. We've all been misinformed about the nature of Aquarius. Most people heard the word Aquarius for the first time in the Broadway show tune, Fifth Dimension song, The Age of Aquarius. But I'll give you an idea of how ridiculous the whole concept of Aquarius described in that song is. The lines of the song begin, when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, etc., 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 that's the end of the astrology, the Age of Aquarius will begin, right? That's how the song is structured. And it's going to be super cool and groovy and loving, and it's going to be naked hippies dancing around on stage. But the moon is in the seventh house for 2 hours a day. It's been there for 4 billion years since there was a moon. For 2 hours a day, when the moon sets, it's in the seventh house every day. And Jupiter aligns with Mars, depending on how you look at it, conjunction every year, every 2 years, opposition every 2 years, square every year. That's how off analysis our concept of Aquarius is. And it's not that Aquarius isn't genuinely a beautiful thing. It's a very important sign in human relations. And in a sense, it is the sign of group dynamics in human relations. But it's the group dynamics under the influence of patterns. And Aquarius is primarily the form of pattern crystallization, and the fundamental crisis, the healing crisis of Aquarius, is that of crystallization, of pattern crystallization, to the point where it can almost seem not possible that the patterns would be any way other than they are. And the patterns set up expectations, and they set up social roles and social rules and hierarchies and in-groups and out-groups, and all of this is a function of archetypal Aquarius on the personal level. So we're all subject to that. So then we're subject to that, and then on the personal level we have Aquarius representing not just the group and not just the distinct individual, right? Because Aquarius is said to be the sign of groups, and then it's like also the sign of weirdos. But what Aquarius really is the place where the group and the individual confront one another. Confront, face to face. And that confrontation can go a number of different ways. One can submit to the group. One can take the if you can't beat him, join him approach to the group. One can stand out as an individual. One can simply be an individual, but it's almost always in the context of the surrounding social expectations. And we've seen this quality of existence really brought out in the past 3 years of Saturn in Aquarius. Saturn entered Aquarius and the world went into lockdown. Now, that's not very groovy. And there are very few people left who believe, though there are some, that 4.4 billion people were put into house arrest in the space of 3 weeks for their own good. And this is one reason why I'm so cautionary of and alert to the possibilities of Pluto and Aquarius and looking for other approaches to Pluto in Aquarius than the one that says that Pluto is going to essentially form a kind of a power field in Aquarius that finishes the job of Saturn in Aquarius. Now, the other side of this is that Saturn in Aquarius has created a tremendous level of awareness, as small as it may be in comparison to other things that are going on. But there are people who have been awakened by the events of the past 3 years, like very few people ever before, and like they were never before alerted to their need to participate and also to stand out and to stand up. Some people did. Not everyone just went along blindly and said, oh, we're going to just believe whatever the latest tweet says must be the truth, because after all, they wouldn't tweet it if it wasn't true. Now we're finding out that the FBI paid Twitter to ban people, control the flow of content. Ah, this is what we must be alert to. Now, to you, you will have the most amazing opportunity of your life to be yourself no matter what they all say. To have the strength to hold your consciousness and to stand in your individual will, and to recognize that you are not all of them, and that all of them are not you, and that you have and will increasingly have the ability to say that what is true for you may not be true for me, and it's not true for me till I agree that it's true for me. And it takes a lot of strength to do that part. It's much easier to just go along to get along. But with Pluto entering your sign, the stakes go up really high. The stakes of going along to get along go up, and the challenge of standing up to those who might try to dictate your reality also goes up. But you have an extra power. And I'm sure you learned a lot from Saturn in Aquarius. It is a great teacher. And I would suggest going back through the past 3 years and studying the way that your attitudes and values changed over the course of those 3 years, and note as well as you can what you thought in March of 2020 and at the end of 2020, and then any demarcation points that you have, and how you felt about the ways in which society was wielding a distinctly Aquarian power to say, if you don't do that, we will exclude you. For some people, this meant their farm being taken away because their job was helping them pay the mortgage so they could have organic goat milk on their farm, which would not pay the mortgage and taxes on a farm, but their job would, and they could maintain their farming practice their way. For many, it meant losing their career as an airline pilot, flight attendant, police officer, police captain, EMT that served valiantly through 2020, fearlessly, valiantly. Gone. Fired. That's the power of Aquarius. And so now we're in this phase of game on with Pluto entering Aquarius, where now it's not going to be the relatively, let's say, velvet hand of Saturn in Aquarius, but rather the various parties attempting to co-opt and use the power of Aquarius, as now will be embodied in Saturn, in Pluto. And those who are conscious of their responsibility to be themselves and to not let others impose their reality now have a very helpful advantage, and see the spiritual benefit of doing this. And there is a parallel level of group initiation and individual initiation in the context of the group. And though I have not said these words in this reading yet, it was Alice Bailey who pointed out the difference between a mass and a group. Aquarius, when it's abused, becomes the power of the mass. Aquarius is rightly the group of individuated entities who can function and communicate as adults in community and make decisions and work out a power-sharing arrangement. It is power to the people that the people take up, whether they choose to do so in a democratic fashion or in a hierarchical fashion or a tyrannical fashion. But when Aquarius works its best, it is about groups. And so since you have that affinity, you have that tendency, because Aquarius people always have the tendency to gravitate into group environments in ways that people without strong Aquarius don't have to have. To remember that it's not a group unless it's a group of distinct individuals who can speak and be heard. And who can listen and respond. So, Pluto on its way. It will be in transition for about, looks to me like about 17 months between, I guess, March of 23 and November of 24. One interesting thing about the transition of Pluto from Capricorn to Aquarius is that unlike any other Pluto transition of our lifetimes, most people alive are no older than Pluto in Cancer, and most of them are gone. Pluto gets into Leo in the 1930s, so there's still, this is the baby boom, right? And as the baby boom, there are a vast number of people with Pluto in Leo. And though it will take 20 years, there will be Pluto oppositions. But in a sense, that's no matter, that you don't need the exact opposition aspect to have that. But the point I'm making is that in none of that time has Pluto had to enter a sign three times. It may seem like not a big deal, but most of the time Pluto goes in, retrogrades out, goes back in, it stays, 15 years, boom, in, out, in, done, next. With Aquarius, Pluto is slowing down so much that it's going to go into Aquarius, it'll retrograde back, it'll go back in, it'll retrograde out, and then it'll go back in. And this is a transition, a blending period, where the line between Capricorn and Pluto in a and Aquarius will be blended like smudging pastels with your thumb, where the corporate reality of the sign Capricorn in your 12th gives way to the social reality of Aquarius. And the corporate can run the social, as is being happened. Social media is the perfect example of this Capricornish social, corporate-ruled, shareholder-driven, stock-price-obsessed corporations setting the patterns that affect the relationships, whether personal or commercial or social, of every person on the planet. So there's already been this kind of merger of Capricorn and Aquarius, where the corporate is this thing on the inside running all of this stuff on the outside, and then you find out that it wasn't really Twitter you were typing into or reading. It was actually an FBI website. This story has come out over the past month. Paid money, paid, given to Twitter. to control what people tweet, who gets on, who gets to be on the site, who's not on the site. Controlling the flow of messages. Pluto entering Aquarius gives us the power to revolt against this. But the revolution is not so much an outer revolution as it is one of individual awakening to your context within a collective. Rather than just being like, now I'm going to do what the collective does. That's the bumper sticker to put on. Now I'm for the Ukrainian people. Stick a thing on your lawn. What does anybody know about Ukraine? Except they've got a pretty yellow and blue flag on their lawn. Now we're going to do that. Now we're going to do that. Now this is what you believe. Now that's what you believe. Well, Pluto is going to change that dynamic. And I think we'll see it two ways. One is the volume goes up, and the second is you are likely to experience it as the power to awaken within the collective and ask yourself the question, where am I and what am I doing here? More on this developing story another time. Your ruling planet, Saturn, I don't think it's Uranus, but Uranus is interesting. It's Aquarian in some sense, but Saturn is the thing, has now entered, is about to enter Pisces. I'm a little ahead of myself because I'm like staring at 2023 astrology for like weeks and weeks on end. Okay, so it's going to enter Pisces in March, in the spring. And for the first time in 8 years, Saturn's going to be in a water sign. That's good for you. Aquarius is the sign of the water bearer. And if we really have to go all the way back to Saturn in Cancer 20 years ago-ish to have a place where the water bearer could refresh its urn. Because that didn't happen in Capricorn. Didn't happen in Sag. Scorpio's a water sign, but it's not very watery. Scorpio's a water sign like fossilized seawater, Arctic ice, this kind of thing. Back Libra, Virgo, Leo. Cancer's a watery water sign. Well, now you're going to get to fill your urn and to to refresh your well. And there's a lot of water going on in Pisces because of the presence of Neptune in Pisces. So this is a large space. Neptune is greatly enlarging Pisces and the watery quality of Pisces to the point where we have a an astrological description of people not knowing which way is up. The wild popularity of the so-called flat Earth, so-called movement, that is a lot of things. It is a digital effect. It is an effect of the human reduced to corporate legal person. But it's also an effect of the idea that my fantasy must be your reality. I mean, talk about rapey. And my delusion, you must believe my delusion or you are threatening me. Wow. So Saturn comes along and Saturn is like skin bracer. Saturn is like the wake up and pay attention, and let's set some boundaries around the margins of this sprawling misunderstanding. And Saturn is, thankfully, the first answer to Neptune in Pisces since Chiron departed in 2018. So that was a while ago. And Saturn is going to maintain a presence in Pisces until Neptune leaves and enters Aries. That's a whole other slice of the orange. But here's the benefit for you, is that you get to prioritize. Now, there are a number of, depending on what signs you've listened to, a number of the signs are bubbling up with this theme of prioritization. I'm about to read Pisces. That has it going on too. So you see the theme of prioritization when there are important transits or planets moving through the sign right after yours, which is the sign of your ethics, values, priorities, resources, self-value, self-esteem, your available cash, your movable assets, the tools of your trade, your talents, all that is contained in the second house. It's your stuff. It's not just you. It's like the stuff around you. And that stuff is largely, I mean, it's, you know, those of us who work with tools should take care of our tools and value them. However, this is adding an extra emphasis on that placement of value and focus and the most important theme of prioritization. What comes first? And Neptune has made this very difficult to get right what comes first. Chiron helped for about 5 or 6 years, maybe seven, from about 02 to about 18, 19, but has been missing. And so we were left with this condition of Neptune in Pisces, and that has been very, very foggy. And so Saturn is here to clear the fog. And so I suggest you work with this, and your mantra is proposed by me. What is the most important thing I can be doing now? What should my agenda look like in terms of what matters the most? Not what day is it and what am I supposed to do that day, but rather what matters the most. Okay. So, keep that in mind. Remember that there must be flexibility here. I'm amazed that people have their schedules planned out 3, 4, 5 months in advance. I think, I mean, if you're like a public speaker and you have all these engagements and you've got to, you know, you know that you're going to be like in Minneapolis in March of 2024 because that's when your company's trade show is going to be there. That's one thing, but to know what you're doing at 4:30 p.m. on March 19th, that's a little rigid. And so the flexible part of Aquarius is Pisces. The container is the stiff part. The flexible part has to be the water that takes the shape of the container and can be poured and shared and refilled, that kind of thing. So the boundary between the content, that is to say what you do, what you hold as important, and the structure of time is a vital theme. All right, let's take a little break and check out a couple of more houses. I want to look carefully at stuff going on in the third, a very Aquarian place for you. The reason you identify with your ideas so much is you have Aries in the third place. We identify with and strive to actualize what's going on in Aries, and where that happens is where we do it. In your case, it's the house of ideas and communications, and there's a lot here compelling you to see things in a more integrated and less self-focused way. So let's come back to that after a little music. Thank you. In the fabulous invention of the solar chart, the chart for the sign, the chart that says Aquarius is the first place, Pisces is the second, values and assets, Aries is the third, mental state, Taurus is the fourth, foundation. Each sign has that distinctly arranged for each sign, right? So there's 12 completely different arrangements. Even though they go in the same order, it's modal, in case you study music. Aries falls in the third place. And the reason I believe that Aquarians have this reputation for being brainiacs and idea people has very little to do with Aquarius itself or its ruler Saturn, and much more to do with the fact that we find Aries, the sign of initiative and initiation and of self-identification, in the third house of ideas. So you can be Aquarian as you want, but if you have, I don't know, I can't pick a non-existent sign of Ophiuchus, because no one knows what it means, on the third, you're not gonna have that initiative ignition power of ideas. And the reason you have that initiative and ignition power of ideas is because it's you want it. It's where you just go to find yourself. It's like a cat finding its dish, because it's there. It's going to be food in the dish. Chances are, I'm sure there's food in your cat's dish when the cat wants it. So that's how it is with Aries on the third. You want that stuff of self and self-becoming. You go to the house of ideas, communication, commerce. And it's been an interesting time. Principally, two things. A century of Eris. A century of one planet in one sign, yes. And about 30 years left. 25 or so, I don't know exactly. It's a long one. And that has been about the digitization of the mind. The tribalization of the individual. This is a massive theme in Marshall McLuhan's work of how electricity decentralizes and denudes the individual of their individuality. Here's a prescription for mass consciousness. Groups that act like crowds at football stadiums. Which is not a group, but you can't have a group unless you've got individuals. You can't have individuals if everyone has had their individuality tribalized, electrified, digitized. We are all made irrelevant in digital. If you're wondering what this brutal competition for likes and shares and people in who there's like one Substack after the next, where the person, people like to put me on their Substacks. So I get all these blogs in my email. And everyone has got the bottom line, uncensored, God's honest, unvarnished truth for me. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. It's not really. There's a lot of issues. A lot of them are pushing medications and ivermectin and things like this. But that desperation is this urgent need for relevance. Very high in the hierarchy of needs of Maslow. It's like food, shelter, clothing, relevance. Taken away, we have this desperate environment. Now, there is no establishing your relevance by having everyone agree that you're relevant. That's not relevance. You can try it and tell me if it works. What's relevant is you feel like you're yourself. You honor and recognize your power of decision, which is based on the previous sign, the spiritual values of Pisces on the second. You make the decisions that steer the vessel down in the third. That's like where the rudder is. So you've had Chiron there forcing a kind of crisis for the last 4 or 5 years. an identity crisis, but properly dramatized, the identity crisis is the crisis of what is my state of mind? How do I craft my words? What am I doing right now? What are the ideas that emerge from my values that guide me to make the decisions that I make? Where do I spend my money? Very important matter of the third house, because it's all about commerce. And so we are entering a time now where, well, on the day that I was born, 1964, a $5 bill was worth as much as like $48.50 today. How about that? Inflation in my lifetime has taken away 90% of the value of the dollar. So the spending of the dollar becomes much more important under this environment, and spending it where you know it's going to make a difference, and making sure that you are local enough to hand someone that $50 bill instead of tweeting it to them becomes much more important. And so there's now with Jupiter here, Jupiter in Aries is emphasizing the entire nature of the third, all the ideas of the third. But there is a caution here about always doing a systems check of, am I being too self-centered here? What is the viewpoint that other people have? Where is everyone else coming from? Chiron's emphasizing that point. Chiron's emphasizing an integrated, holistic, synergistic, the whole's greater than the sum of the parts. That's also biophilia. Integrated approach to self and environment. So that you know environment acts on you, you act on the environment, and in the spirit of Pisces in the immediate house, making sure that you maintain a circumspect view, checking in with people around you, looking at the world from as many viewpoints as you can, playing a game and saying, oh, what are the five sides to the story? Because there's supposed to be only two. One of my tricks as a journalist is to never sit still for too long. If I'm in court or somewhere like that, sitting in a congressional committee meeting, I have to sit there. But otherwise, anything else, even in court sometimes when I'm watching, I will roam around the courtroom and look from as many angles as I can, you know, even being told by the gendarmes to sit the fuck down. Being a photographer helps because go there, take a picture. Go there, take a picture. Go over there in the corner, take a picture. Go out in the corridor, see who's out in the corridor. Go in the bathroom, see who's in the bathroom. Go behind the scenes. That's the view to take to stay out of your self-centered viewpoint. And this from because Jupiter is going to pump that up for you. Jupiter is going to give you a bit of, my way is the right way. I know everything. You don't want that. Aquarius is the original sign of know when you don't know. You must know when you don't know. If you don't know when you don't know, you are lost. If you know when you don't know, you have crossed the dividing line to brilliance. Because once you know you don't know, then you can embark on the process of finding out. It's very helpful to find out. And so Aries in this sense here now, especially under the influence of Chiron, is saying, what do I think about this? How did this influence me? How am I influencing that? And most importantly, what are the other viewpoints that I could learn from? And the reason that people don't do this is because they're afraid that if they enter it, if they enter the environment of any other viewpoint or even consider any other viewpoint, all their assumptions are out the window, which is thankfully usually true. Now, as an Aquarian, you stand on a strong foundation of Taurus. Fourth place, security. It's a great sign to have for the purposes of stability and security. The only thing is, you've had Uranus coming through the fourth house, going back to 2018. So there's been a lot of moving and shaking going on underneath the ground. Okay, so that was due. That was time. And one of my favorite Taurus jokes was I put this in the April Fool's Day 2021 COVID vaccine horoscope. And I said something like, Taurus, you haven't moved for the last 37 years, but now it's time to. And I had a Taurus friend write back to me and said, wow, I just sold the house I lived in for 37 years. I'm like, yep, astrology strikes again. I mean, I pulled the number out of nowhere, but it just happened to add up mathematically. So Uranus has had that. Uranus has been the shakeup. And by the way, a lot of Tauruses live in the same place they lived on the day that I met them, until Uranus and Taurus. So maybe like every 84 years, Taurians move. Yeah, it's got to happen sooner or later. So you have Taurus on the ground level, fourth house, the garden, the estate, the house, the grounds, the four walls, the household staff, the father's estate. And Uranus is here, and it's a little earthquakey. And so this is potentially destabilizing, but it's refreshing also, and it's about reinventing, and there may be and could rightly be a bit of feng shuiing the place going on, and rethinking the organization, and possibly relocating, moving. Now, when is that? I'm thinking, well, Jupiter enters Taurus in May of 23, and it spends a year solid in Taurus and goes into Gemini without any retrogrades back into Aries or anything like that. So it's going to spend a solid, basically 54 weeks. Yeah, a year is 52, so it's a year plus about 2 weeks in Taurus. Well, that's stabilizing. That's also going to culminate in April of 24 with Jupiter conjunct Uranus. Very exciting. Very creative, very productive. That's a good time to plan your dream move. No rush here. Now, time goes by pretty quickly these days. And we are talking, that's 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 16-ish months. So if you're thinking you want to get on some new ground, Jupiter in Taurus is good. Jupiter conjunct Uranus, great, excellent. And if you have an opportunity that like looks like a good opportunity and feels right, ground feels good, land feels good, turn the lights off, sit in the dark, feels good, might be the right thing. Fifth house, Mars retrograde, fellow air sign Gemini. What's happening here is that your creative abilities are getting a shakeup, and you are you have like a little storm of self-expression brewing. Gemini's very third house. It's in a sense it's a perfect fusion of Aquarius and third house, but it's in your fifth. So it's about expression and taking more risks, being willing to gamble a little to gain something. And I'm not talking Enron. I'm talking about like gambling an idea, trying something, experimenting something, asserting yourself, Mars, asserting yourself. Now, the interesting hook of Mars in Gemini is to this confusion source, you know, is it delusional or is it spiritual, Neptune in Pisces in the second house? There's a lot of truth assessment going on. And the question is, and I think it is a foundational question for our times, when everyone's a public figure, There's no more Emily Dickinsons. You can't just sit in your house for, you know, 75 years and leave twice to get your eyeglasses fitted. Everyone's a public figure. Do you have the guts to assert yourself for who you truly are? Or are you just going to, you know, shut up? So Mars goes into Cancer at the time of the Great Watershed, March 2023. Three things change signs. Pluto enters your sign, Saturn leaves your sign, and Mars wraps up the seven-month retrograde process in Gemini and enters Cancer. All about get busy. Get busy. Do the thing you've got to do. Informed by your values, informed by your real ideas, informed by your willingness to take a risk, and is a very hot transit. Mars making conjunctions to a Pluto-like thing out there called Chaos, and another thing out there, two very important minor planets, not asteroids, Aspolus and Chaos, right on the Cancer-Gemini line right now. Kind of holding, working that line between the fifth house of creativity and the sixth house of productivity. They go right together. The line between them, the imaginary line between them, is this kind of vapor point. It's the place where true creativity is accessed. One of my favorite things to contemplate in my child imagination is the surface of a cup of tea. Obviously, there's water in the cup, and there's air that goes down to the bottom of the cup till the water starts. But what if you could get down to the level of the molecule? What's it like in that place where the tea is meeting the air? What's it like to watch a molecule of tea, would be water, because it's the tea can't evaporate, it's going to leave the particulates behind. What's it like when that molecule evaporates as steam? What is it like right there at the surface? That's the borderline of fifth house of creativity and the sixth house of productivity. Your water is the tea, or water is Cancer, and the air is Gemini. So that boundary becomes very important, as does the boundary between Capricorn and Aquarius. There's a lot of boundary work, exploration of boundaries, and The idea of boundaries has been misunderstood to believe the answer is always no. That's the concept of a boundary. It's not a boundary. It's not flexible. There's no integrity. It's useless. So the concept of a boundary is a moving thing. It is a flexible, negotiable, practical thing. Largely involves time, space, and money. Contracts, agreements. To me, the most important boundary is showing up on time and honoring your agreements. If you don't show up on time and honor your agreements, you've got boundary issues. If you don't show up on time, you've really got boundary issues. You don't need to go any further. This is why you don't hire somebody who comes late to the interview. They're beginning the interview saying, fuck you. From some experience hiring. Let's cover one last house in this discussion. Beautiful Venus retrograde happening mid-year, early June through early October. There's not a heck of a lot going on in Leo, in your opposite sign, your relationship sign. It's a solar sign. The sun rules one and only Leo. But there's not a lot of planets there. There's Silenunum, trans-Neptunian binary pair, which to me is about the kind of tendency to hold up the world. That's not really in play. There's Varuna. It's an important trans-Neptunian minor planet, 20,000. Varuna, discovered in 2000. They thought it was so important, they gave it an honorary number, 20,000, to match the year it was discovered. So it's one of the sort of trans-Neptunian, Pluto-like points that wanted us to remember, and it's about fundamentally quality. It's about leveling the game. And so therefore, in any environment where you are, and I'm writing an investigative reporting book, and there's a juicy chapter on how to approach the world of people as respectfully honoring equality and status at the same time. To remember that no matter who you're talking to, there is some fundamental human level of equality despite the game, despite all the role play. There was an encounter I had with really one of the kind of monstrous figures in General Electric history, Stephen Hamilton. And I was at a public meeting and I asked a question, and the question confounded all the usual public relations hacks, and out of a puff of smoke emerged Stephen Hamilton. And they said, "We'll have Stephen Hamilton answer that question." I'm like, "I know who that is. That's the guy with the private jet who gave the deposition that I read." So the meeting thins out, and I knew who this guy was. I mean, he's not a good actor. The meeting thins out. There's maybe only about 15 people left in the room, and I went around the room, and I sat down next to him. I'm like, "Hey, Steve, Eric Coppolino here. Hey, hi." I said, "Steve, want to go out to lunch?" Totally off the record. And he looked at me, and he thought about it. He thought about it. And he said, he wanted to. And he said, "Well, that's probably not a good idea." And I said, "Steve, I totally understand." And we met as humans, not as investigative reporter meets environmental vice president of General Electric, but person to person, human to human, two brothers sitting down. And it was maybe a 1-minute conversation, but I am so glad I did that. And that's the spirit of Varuna. The Varuna is where the great and the meek and the high and the low and the medium and the mighty and the strange and everybody is just like, "Oh, here we are. Here we all are." That's Aquarius. That's the spirit of Varuna in your seventh. Now, Venus comes through and makes this 4-month visit. That's really special. This is going to put some love in your life. I don't know if it's a great relationship. I don't know if it's meeting a partner from the past or someone but from previous life coming in. But it has the spirit of bringing love into your life. That's the thing we need right now. I think you will find this to be rather welcoming. You find the love in weird places. Like that moment with me and Steve Hamilton was an actual moment of brotherly love. No judgments involved. This is where we need to get. It doesn't mean that I think he did the right thing. It doesn't mean that you agree with everyone. But what's so helpful is to at least recognize the humanity of the people that you disagree with. And to recognize the humanity of all those people who, all these freaks on all these platforms are talking about being like the Anunnaki and the Illuminati and all this stuff. No, they're people. They're people. And should we ever divorce ourselves from the reality that those people are people and say, "Well, they're not really people. They're some other thing." Well, you're alienating yourself from your humanity too. So, hadn't planned to say this, but Varuna, through Leo, your seventh house is saying, walk around the world and imagine that you're on level ground. And the thing about that level ground is it really only works when you treat pretty much everyone with pretty much equal respect. And the key to that is learning the art of being yourself with everyone all the time. It's tremendous yoga. There should be a name for it. There should be some name in Sanskrit. Maybe there even is. It's kind of like karma yoga, but it means karma yoga is something different. It would be a branch of it, but I mean the yoga of reflective self-awareness to the point where you pretty much hold everyone and yourself to the same standard. And that's your point of gathering. And I think your greatest potential point of success. And people look to you as a philosophical leader, whether you realize this or not. And that is a philosophy that the world needs now. All right, Aquarius, cousin, your charts has been read by your Aquarius moon astrologer. I would have it no other way. Thank you for your business, and more than that, for the time that you've invested here, and more than that, the trust that you put in me to say these words, which can never come out of your mind. So I do my best to make sure that I choose them well and take some risks in doing so. All right. Lots of love. See you a little further on down the line. Signing off at 6:07 p.m. on December 26th, 2022. Bye for now.